Welcome to another Carlin Light Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, if I ask you this question, what's the longest baseball game in innings in the history of Australian baseball?
Are you asking me that question right now?
Yes.
And you assume I know the answer?
No.
Or am I playing dumb and I don't know the answer?
Well, I think you do know the answer. And it's the 19-inning grand final in 1972, Port Adelaide beat Goodwood 4-2. Kevin Greatrex hit a two-run home run to win the game.
Bottom of the 19th.
Bottom of the 19th.
4-2 win to Port Adelaide, is that
correct?
Yes,
yes. And Kevin Greatrex's mother's maiden name is...
Don't tell me it's Laidlaw.
No. But Kevin's related to a former councillor in the region, and Winkle Bridge is named after his relative down here near Ride Street and the Two Wells Road in Gawler.
Wow, that is fascinating.
So he's got a connection. So his mum's name, maiden name was Winkle. So we've got a Gawler connection.
That is wonderful. And Port Adelaide won that game. Is that correct?
That was
Just say that to me. Say that out loud. Port Adelaide. You say it for me.
Correct. The Magpies
Did you say
won. They won their six in a row. Now
I know you have trouble saying Port Adelaide.
We've got a special guest. We've got one of the players from the game, second baseman Ron Hocking, who is currently the president of the Port Adelaide Baseball Club. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Thank you, Robert. Nice to catch up with you two guys.
Now, I must ask you to start off with, do you have any memories of that game?
Well, I have quite a few memories now, having worked with you on your book and doing a little bit of fact-checking and proofreading for you. Yeah, I've got more memories than what I did before we started the project.
So you've let the cat out of the bag that we're producing a book on the bottom of the 19th,
yes,
on 1972. It's the 50th anniversary next week. So can you believe it was 50 years ago?
No, of course not. No, especially when most of those guys that I played with, I'm still in pretty close contact with, and we've grown old together. And, 50 years is, yeah.
Just flying by.
It's amazing how much time's gone by.
It's fabulous, isn't it? And I know Rob's been very excited about putting this book together. He's spoken to me several times about it, and having a look at it now, it looks really good, Robert. So well done. Great
job. Thank you. But it's not about me. It's about
but
Ron.
I was interested, Ron. Like, I did do a bit of a search on you today to talk to you tonight. And obviously, like, you're still heavily involved in the Port Adelaide Baseball Club. How many years has that spanned, your involvement with the club?
I started in 1962, so this would be my 60th year with the club.
Wow.
Pretty much continuous. I haven't had a year where I haven't done something for the club, and obviously now I'm president, so it's a pretty big role.
That's amazing, isn't it? And this is like we've spoken about people before on our program, about the sort of people that really make a difference in local clubs, and you're obviously one of those people.
Yeah, I guess this year I make a big difference because of the role I got, but some years I've done nothing but just mow the lawns and mark the diamonds out, you know, so it's whatever the club seems to ask me to do, I put my hand up and try to help out.
Now, Port Adelaide, they won six flags in a row. That 1972 game was the sixth in a row. You played in all six, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
So how old were you for the first one?
17.
17.
Yeah.
And there was a changeover from winter baseball to summer baseball at the time, but what was it like playing for Port Adelaide in that six consecutive premierships?
Well, I guess my first final I played in, I got there by
happenstance,
yeah, yeah. Because Neil Davey was he just won the
Caps medal,
and he got I'd played in the under 16s, and they took me up into the seniors as a 16-year-old, and I'd played all year in the B grade, and then in the preliminary final, Neil got transferred with his work to Sydney, and they picked me to come into the preliminary final. So my first Division One game was a preliminary final.
And your second game was a premiership?
It was a grand final, yeah, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
What did that feel like as a kid?
I didn't, it just happened. They said, you're playing in the semi-final, and I said, okay, so I went out and I played, and don't remember having any nerves or anything like that. I felt like I belonged there, to be perfectly honest with you. It wasn't overawed by it at all.
Was it unusual at the time for such a young person to be playing in the senior team?
Well, it was at Port Adelaide because when I got promoted from juniors into the senior squad, I looked at the Port Adelaide side and we had an Australian player pitching for us. We had a very experienced catcher. We had Kevin Greatrex at first, who's a Hall of Famer. We had Adrian Pearce, who just won the Helms Award at third base. And we had David Mundy at shortstop, who's a Hall of Famer. And we had Neil Davey at second base, who was a just won the Caps medal. So for me at that age to even think that I could get into that side the same year, and it wasn't something that I contemplated, and I wondered why I wasn't back in the under-18s playing with my mates, because I couldn't see myself cracking into that side for a few years to come.
The Caps medal, of course, is the best player in the competition, and the Helms Award is for the best player in the Claxton Shields series between the states, just to clarify that.
That's right.
And what about the grand final itself? I mean, can you just talk us through the grand final? I mean, both teams scored two runs each in the first innings, and then it was lights out to the 19th.
Yeah, it pretty well was. I mean, obviously it became a defensive game. Goodwood had Neil Page pitching, and Neil was undisputably the best pitcher in Australia at the time. And we had a very strong offensive lineup with Kevin Greatrex, David Mundy, Adrian Pearce, Mal McLaughlin. Yeah, some really, really strong.
All Australian
players. All Australian players, yeah. So we had a very strong lineup. We had Wayne Durbidge pitching for us, started the game. Wayne was an Australian player. And Neil went the whole 19 innings for the game, and Wayne went 10. We made a change in the 10th, which you would in the bottom of the 10th, because he was the leadoff batter for that innings. So when he came out, David Mundy came in for what was maybe going to be one or two innings, but David ended up pitching another 9 innings.
A full game.
Scoreless innings for the rest of the game, yeah.
Now, obviously, it was quite a dramatic game, and there was a few controversies, a few brilliant plays, but talk us through the top of the 16th innings when I think it was John Gourley led off with a double. What happened to prevent them from scoring?
Well, there was none out from recollection, and John hit a double. And then there was a next batter up, hit a deep fly to centre field. John tagged up, as you would expect, and he took off on the catch, and I was positioned in the way that I could see when he left and the timing of the catch, and I was in no doubt in my own mind that that he'd left early, so I was screaming out for our shortstop, who was the cutoff man, I didn't care who got the ball. We had him at second on an appeal play, so that's what happened. And so we appealed the play. The umpires, who were very experienced umpires, Claude Pearce, John Tyson, Warren Charles was chief umpire, and they got in together and they had a talk about the decision, and then they called John out at second base on the appeal play.
Now, what would have happened if they called him safe? He would have been on third base, and what did the next batter do?
He hit a fly to centre field.
Which would have scored him.
It would have scored him.
So there's a lot of Goodwood people point to that. But,
yeah.
You know, in writing the book, I've got both perspectives, and it's what controversy is made of. It was just beautiful the way I got the two descriptions.
There was a lot of theatre there, because the umpires probably took what seemed like 5 minutes to make the decision, and it was probably only minutes, but I think everybody knew what was hanging on it for sure.
So what was the crowd like that day? Because I was looking through the book and there's some images from baseball around that time, not from the actual game, but the crowds seemed to be huge crowds at baseball back then.
Yeah, I think the crowd that night was 5,000 or around that number, but just on a normal Wednesday night game, we would get 2,000 to 3,000 every week there. Some grand finals that I played in was more than 5,000, 6,000 or 8,000 people. So, they were baseball fans. Obviously, there were Goodwood and Port Adelaide fans there, but I'd say the majority of the crowd were just baseball fans, and they went every Wednesday night to watch the baseball. That was their recreation, their family night out, if you like. And they made a lot of noise, and they were well educated in the game.
So 19 innings, how long was the game? How long did it actually run for in terms of time?
There's a little bit of uncertainty on that, but it finished well after midnight, and I think it started around about would have been 8 o'clock, maybe 8:30. So 4.5 hours, I would have said, was a bit of time that it would have taken.
It's a long time to concentrate.
It's a long time to concentrate, and obviously the pressure builds up with every innings. And you know, there were some great players there that decided the game at the end of the day, but every player on the field had an opportunity at some stage to lose the game as well, and nobody lost that game. Every defensive player stood up and did what was required, and it took a home run to which there's no defense against a home run, and to win the game. So, you know, it was credit to both sides that the pressure just built up with every innings, and yet during those 17 or 18 scoreless innings, there were some spectacular plays, some fantastic defensive work.
What would you put down as the number one defensive play in the game in your mind?
I mean, in my mind, it was Graham Petrie's catch in the 14th innings. I think it was Mal Clements. You know, you can only remember so much. I can only remember what I can remember. Mal Clements hit a long ball out to centre field, and I can clearly remember Graham's glove above the home run fence. And I asked Graham about that, and he said, put it this way, if I didn't catch it, it was gone.
And you made a fairly good play at second base earlier in the game. Tell us about that, because it was very interesting to hear your take on that previously.
Well, it was a difficult catch, and I threw myself at the ball, and I was quite amazed to hear it actually thud into my glove, or feel it thud into my glove. It was, yeah, and I landed on the ground, and the runner had taken off on the expectation that it was through, and so I was able to get on my.
Was that an instant play for you? Were you awake to it and you threw it straight to first base?
No, I didn't know where I was when I hit the ground.
So did you get a bit of ribbing as you came in?
I got a lot, yeah. They asked me if I forgot what I was doing or something like that, but yeah.
I haven't been to too many baseball games, but one of the things, like thinking 19 innings with no scoring in 17 innings, was that what you said before? But there's so much, as you said, there's so much exciting things that happen. That big hit that you were talking about was caught right out on the fence. What were you feeling in that period of time when you obviously hear the ball and see the ball hit and thinking, wow, is that going to be a home run only to be caught? So in such a tight game, what was the feeling like for that, say, brief 4 or 5 seconds while it's in the air?
Well, your heart's in your mouth. A well-hit ball, especially at Norwood Oval, because it's like an amphitheatre, and the batter was very, very close to the grandstand, so everything had almost like an echo. So when the crack of the ball off the bat, there's a sound that you just know that's a serious hit. And that Mal hit a serious hit, and all you can do is sit there and watch. And we got the right result, because Graham made the ground on the catch and timed his leap to perfection and stole the home run.
Now, you were talking about Clement's hit there, about the sound of the bat. Tell us about Greatrex's home run, the sounds, the feelings. Tell me what went through your mind as best you can.
Well, you know, there's always an expectation that Kevin's going to hit a home run to start with. And I guess at that stage of the game, yeah, everybody was really, really putting a lot on that turn the plate for Kevin. And we were two out with nobody on base in the bottom of the 19th. Now, in normal circumstances, that's side out, go out and play the 20th. But David Mundy got a single to right field, and then Kevin had his turn at the plate, and then he made the hit. And the crack of the bat, and everybody's kind of hoping and the expectations are that maybe this time, and you see the ball sail out into the darkness, and everybody's jumping off the bench.
You've been involved in baseball for 60 years.
Mm.
Is this game the number one highlight?
No.
What is it, right? It's a magnificent game.
Of course it was. It was a historic game, and there'll be another I doubt that there'll be another game like, especially a grand final. But for me, that was my sixth premiership in a row, and I had to wait 10 years for the next one in 82, and that's the special game for me.
Okay, because it all came so easy early, and then...
Seemingly, yeah, and then for the next 10 years, you just hope you've experienced that feeling one more time, and I got that in 82, so...
So the nine-inning game is only number two?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Ron Hocking from Port Adelaide Baseball Club. So ends another Carlin Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.